83, Hearing Room A, 1 o'clock p.m. Work session on Senate Bill 405, Senate Bill 406, Senate Bill 237, and Gross. Tape number 125.
Order. Before we take up the recycling bill, I just wanted to go over a couple of things we on 237, which we're just keeping in the committee, but we're getting the thing engrossed, and there were a couple of changes I wanted to get your okay on that we could put into that final version. On the second page, we discovered that the way that's written, in line 31, the way that's currently written, it defines all rural residential land is marginal land, which was not the intention. And so, what's this, Todd?
That's what it'll look like when you...
All right. And we wanted to basically delete the whole sub A there and then change take out the B. So it would just read marginal land is land outside areas designated for urban development or rural residential use on comprehensive plans approved, etc. That would be the only change in that.
That's the change you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then
That would be dealt with this amendment that I'm handing out. The rural residential would be dealt with through this change on page 4.
Okay. Oh, excuse me. I didn't.
That's in the sub C on page 4. Yeah. The idea was to be able, you know, allow the discretion at the local level to move rural residential into marginal land, but we didn't want to define all rural residential as
marginal. Yes, land. We don't want to do that.
I wanted to add that change that Senator Day brought up on page 3, changing wood, deleting wood, and putting workable timber back in.
I think we agreed to that. We asked you to look into that because I think that's a magic term, I believe.
Right. And then Senator Hurd requested some amendments that would allow portions of this to be used in unacknowledged plans to assist in getting them acknowledged. And that language is on would be on page 4. And it would be on line 12, we would essentially delete everything down to the end of the first sentence on line 18. So that sub 3 would just read, any amendments to local government plans and regulations resulting from amendments to goals required by subsection 1 of this section shall become effective only after approval by the commission under, and then we delete 197640 and put in 197251, 197605 to 197650, and that would accomplish what Senator Hurd requested, so that could be used for, I think it was
Mr. Chairman, I think that's okay, but I'm not going to, you're going to engross this anyway.
Yeah, we're going to bring it back to the committee and
all right. Well, without, I believe that's that sound, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Hurd would, I know you came in late, but these are changes we talked about that they hadn't really written out, and he was talking about a change that you wanted so that the plans that are currently haven't been acknowledged, and I think that will do it for you, what he just suggested.
And a couple more minor ones. What about that?
That might, may just be moved. It's not.
Oh, okay. Then, and just to on page 6, and this was just an oversight. We had not removed that aggregate, at least from this mock-up. And I just wanted everyone to know that that will be taken.
That was
our initial. On page 7, we just changed the wording. We previously took out in Eastern Oregon in line 4, so it just read a single-family residential dwelling not provided in conjunction with farm use may be established on a large parcel. But we were going to take out the not and change so it would read, right now it reads soils not predominantly in capability classes 1 through 3. And we thought we'd make it an affirmative statement, soils predominantly in capability classes 4 through 8. And I think...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just thought of something.
Yes.
The change that I mentioned for Klamath County, the comprehensive plan should be acknowledged in the next 4 months, probably late summer, early fall. We don't have the emergency clause on this. And we adjourn July 1st October 1st.
That's, I think what we may have to do is... The reason the emergency clause wasn't on the whole bill is because of those revenue portions.
Now, how can we do that?
I think there may be, since this has to go to revenue, there may be a vehicle there that they could separate them out. But I think that's a, we'll try to address that for you, because that, otherwise it doesn't.
I think you can put an emergency clause. You aren't imposing a tax. You're really reducing.
Actually, that's true.
And I think you can
I'll
put an emergency clause in there. I really think you can.
Last one.
We'll have to check on that. Okay, that was what Joyce wanted to make sure that.
Yes, the language for that.
Yeah.
I think we had one other.
Trying to figure out where I was.
My garbage.
Yeah, we had just one other.
On page 7 and 8, you would notice that at the end of each of these sections, they have comprised of such other conditions as the governing body or its designate considers necessary. And we added 4, a subsection 4 here, and it doesn't have that. And I think Joyce is pointing out that, Senator Cohen, that that perhaps that would mean that they wouldn't have to comply with these conditions.
So we were just going to add that same
thing. Fine, that's fine. I just want to make sure that when we automatically approve the lot of records.
And the only other mistakes on page 8, on right after line 24, it says hearing in the manner prescribed in RS 215402 at SEC. And that should be deleted, and it should say 215.422. And that's it.
Okay, go get them.
Okay. Is there any objection?
You want a motion to move for engrossment? Or you already have
that? I just wanted to add this to the.
All right.
Engrossment. Okay. Okay, we have one other little bit of housekeeping, and that is two bills we have in this committee. One, both deal with DVA, and we wanted to move them over to Joyce's committee. One already has a subsequent referral, and that one is 2126.
What do they do?
They are to work out the energy loan. Plus,
yeah.
With the
oh, God.
IRS.
Yes, yes.
And so I said,
yeah. Senator Hearn and I will agree to that almost.
Okay, we will need to.
Yes, I think
we'll
that's
need
exactly
two motions. Right. One, we'll need a motion to move House Bill 2126 to the Committee on Commerce, Banking, and Public Finance.
We have, Mr. Chairman, I want to say, though, that I'm not grabbing bills. I just think we have a lesser load over there.
Just delighted. Yeah, there are two of us delighted on.
Senator Cohen makes a motion that HB 2126 be moved to the Committee on Commerce, Banking, and Public Finance. Is there objection? The other bill is House Bill 2867. It does not have a subsequent referral, so we'll need a motion to send it to the President. We're requesting.
What is that?
Re-refer it. Joyce, Senator
Cohen. That's the one that asked that $31,000 be appropriated for Cronemar to advocate on behalf of the veterans for relief from the IRS from the same issue.
I'm all for that.
How did we get that one?
Move it.
Yeah.
Senator Cohen makes that motion. Is there objection? Okay.
406.
No, Senate Bill 406. We've got...
You should have in your materials before you. The latest set of amendments...
Are they in my bill book, Doug?
They should be right in front of you. We didn't put them in the bill book. We just left them out.
Right here.
Okay.
With a copy of the original bill attached to it.
Now, we have, Senator Day has been spending a considerable amount of time.
No, you're in the wrong bill. 406.
You called up the 406.
I'm sorry. I beg your pardon.
You want to do that first?
I want to. Okay, we can go ahead and do that. I guess Senator Starkovich is going to be delayed. All right. Is it Day's amendment?
No. Okay.
If you recall, we had this up last Friday, and we just wanted to check a few things out with Legislative Council. Elizabeth, do you want to come up?
Sure.
speak real briefly to 406-4.
This is the Vermont Legislative Council. After Friday, we went back and corrected the procedural concerns that there were about the amendments, so that now if you look at Section 2, Subsection 1, we've added a sentence that basically changes the initial procedures for acquiring standing to appeal a charter provision. And the post-acknowledgement procedures that required a person to have filed objections with the local government and the commission before an amendment to a comprehensive plan was adopted by the local government wouldn't work with a charter provision, because there wouldn't be any point in filing objections with the local government before the vote was taken by the people. So what we've done is given a person standing if they're adversely affected or aggrieved by a new charter provision. They may appeal that charter provision or to the commission, actually file objections with the commission rather than appeal, within 30 days after the charter provision is adopted by vote of the people.
Mr. Chairman?
Any questions, Senator Day?
I'd like to move the amendments dated 5-12-83 to Senate Bill 406-4.
Senator Day moves LC amendments SB 406-4, 5-12-83. Is there a discussion? Objection to the motion? It's ordered.
Mr. Chairman, unless the Risk Committee wants to restudy this several times, I think we've seen what it is, and I move to the floor with the due-pass recommendation as amended.
Senator Day moves Senate Bill 406 as amended to the floor with the due-pass recommendation.
Have we heard from local government on this?
Extensively.
Is there a
discussion? Senator Hurd asked whether we'd heard from local government on this. We had a hearing some time ago, which they presented.
They aren't exactly happy with this. However, I think there's an abundance of testimony that I think, at least I'm persuaded that it should happen, because if they can use a charter amendment to thwart or try to thwart the land use regulation, I think this is a... stop it.
Okay, is there further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Cohen?
Aye.
Senator Day?
Aye.
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Senator Hurd?
Aye.
Senator Flower?
Aye. So ordered. Okay, now 405.
Senator Hurd's.
No, I'm marginal.
I was afraid of. I'll carry it.
What's wrong?
Okay, we'll open the work session on Senate Bill 405.
I'm marginal.
On what?
Senator Day has been working at length for quite a while developing a set of amendments to this recycling bill, and those are the 405-5 amendments. There is one other set of amendments, which is the OEC amendments, which are 405-2. And what I'd like to do is have Senator Day make his amendments with us, and then I'll have the OEC present their amendments, and then we'll hear from some of the individual players involved and see if we can come to some consensus this afternoon on how we want to address this problem. Senator Day?
Okay, on the amendments, if you will, I'm going to use the amendments I handed out to you. There's some changes I want to make, because when I move them, I want to move the amendments as a whole. On page 2 of line 21, you would, after the word or, it says watershed or, instead of local governments, it would be cities and county, or city, county unit. Or county government unit.
So if you read that again.
All right. Quality to assist the watershed or, and you strike local and add cities and county.
Okay.
And on line 25, you do the same thing where it says local city and county government units. On page 4, line 12, line 12.
But Senator Hammy needs to find her.
Oh, I beg your pardon. There are two sets. I have a close version for you, and I have the amendments. And I'm going to give you the amendment.
The amendments.
Change. Yeah, well, the engrossed version reflects the amendments, but I'd like to at least get the amendments correct while we go. Yeah. I've been reading off the amendments, not being great.
So, you're on page 4.
I'm on page 4, and the line 12, after the, it says service 4, I want to insert the word that.
Okay.
Then, over on page 10, line 8, it says section 5 or 6. I'd like to put section 5, 6, or 7. That's it.
Okay.
Now, if I can, I can just take you from the gross version of... version. I haven't met an engrossed virgin for so long, I wouldn't know what to do. But I would sure like to. Very basically, what we've tried to do here, Mr. Chairman, is to develop a method by where we find waysheds that really calls for a mandatory recycling program. And DEQ finds, has a finding that it's required and it's feasible, that one could be indeed ordered by the Department of Environmental Quality. And I'm thinking very much of the Portland metropolitan area and my own area right here, where that may indeed come to pass because of our problems in siting solid waste sites and a number of other related issues. And so, at least for... three of us on this committee, it will have some direct impact in the future. And I have met with the Department of Environmental Quality, the counties and cities, and I think they are, and the callers, and I think they're somewhat in agreement on it. So basically, that's number one. Number two, if it does set out the fact that if we go into this system, that that people are entitled to a fair rate of return, if indeed that's what occurs. And it also speaks to the franchise system so that one could be ordered if it's economically feasible, but it doesn't mean you have to have one. And if it's a mandatory program required, if they find it feasible, they could order. And it allows the department to use certain penalties if indeed part of this recycling program is not followed, they could indeed level penalties, both civil and otherwise, as a result of it. Now, as I say, I've attempted to try to lay out a kind of an evolutionary effort in areas where I believe recycling can be started. In no way does it bypass groups who have currently been recycling. We've tried to be very careful about that, and it may come to pass that some simply aren't able to stay with it, but it won't be because of this legislation. To my knowledge, I know of no one in opposition to this, and I present it to you for best I know how to get started. And, of course, my objective, so you know, is to eventually have a mandatory recycling effort at the household level. I think it's important. I think that's where I want to go. It won't happen overnight, but there's a method to do it if indeed it becomes sensible that in order to drying up solid waste sites, just simply we can't accommodate it, and it makes some sense to do it. DEQ would have the authority to move in on it, so there's a hammer in here, and that's basically what it is, and there are plenty of people here who have worked on it be willing to testify, and I'm going to leave in a few minutes, and I'll wait until the Oregon Environmental Council presents their amendments because I want to be discourteous, but I do have a little bill concerning the SAFE Corporation I want to go up and talk about for about 5 minutes.
Okay. Are there any questions at this point for Senator Day on his proposal? Okay, now, Senator Day, you have to go at 1:30, is that correct?
Yeah, I'll come right back.
Well, Senator Starkovich will be here at...
I'll wait until he comes.
...at about 10 up. I was thinking of... maybe having OEC do it and then recessing briefly.
I would really appreciate that if the rest of the members would show me that courtesy.
Okay.
Mine, because I'd like to hear everyone's testimony, sure.
Okay. Okay, why don't we do that?
Okay.
We'll be in recess until quarter of, but I hope that we all come back. I didn't mean that at you.
Okay.
Mostly myself.
If there's anyone that would like to look at it, I'll have one extra copy of the U.S. version, Mr. Chairman. If they just wouldn't run out the room with it.
Okay, we will reconvene at 1:45.
Good enough. Thank you.
Senator Starkovich, for your benefit, we have two sets of amendments to Senate Bill 405. One prepared by Senator Day, which is the Dash 5 amendments, and one prepared by Oregon Environmental Council, which is the Dash 2 amendments. And Senator Day, have you had a chance to look at the Dash 5 amendments? Can you real briefly again just sort of summarize your amendments? And
Well, basic change... If you were to look at the original 405, they were putting all the emphasis on the and trying to start at the dump site how we were going to handle this whole effort. And what I've tried to do is to say that if we're going to have a recycling effort, that it has to be a total effort. It can't be just where the material comes to the dump site. And it also allows for a phase-in, which affects you, probably those of us who live in the Portland metropolitan area or Salem area, because we're talking about a mandatory recycling system eventually. It allows the department to move into that type of phase. It speaks to franchising and gives protection from franchising. And it also establishes penalties for people who basically don't cooperate. And it also produces that someone that's handling the material can have a fair rate of return, similar to the utility verbiage that we would give a fair rate of return to those who are handling these materials. So that's the heart of this. And for your information, I've worked with the cities and the counties and the collectors, people who are really concerned with this. To my knowledge, I believe that there is support for it in its entirety. I think there are two things that bothered me about the original bill more than anything. First of all, there was a tibid effect to start towards recycling and really insist on it where there was a need. Secondly, taking a position that certain charges couldn't happen because if you're going to have recycling, you just simply couldn't lay additional charges on for that, because in the long run I think you're going to have charges one way or the other. And the third thing is that there wasn't a lot of support for the legislation through all the hearings, and that frankly I'd like to see in my area a mandatory recycling and separation program at the home level. I'm not foolish enough to know that I can't get it done in one swoop, and this allows a phase in step. So that's the purpose of the amendments.
Now we're going to have OEC come forward and explain their bill draft, and then we'll start getting some. That's a dash two.
I don't have their dash two. Is that in? Oh, here we are. Maybe that's in. Yeah, I got it.
I'm Lori Parker, and I'm an OEC board member. We went away from the hearings and also drafted a new proposal that is not a requirement totally on the disposal site operators. We split the responsibility providing the recycling opportunity and left with the disposal site operator the requirement to have a depot at the site for those people who come to the site who do not have a hauler, who haul their own. And so the disposal site operator would have that requirement to have a site at the landfill or at another location. And secondly, we gave to the cities and counties the job of providing the other part of the recycling opportunity, which is, number one, the education aspects, and number two, to see that there was curbside collection. And we changed the population base from 5,000 to 4,000 and included urban growth boundaries to take care of areas like East Multnomah County, and so they would now be included and would have curbside under this proposal. Secondly, like in Senator Day's amendments, we have the language that should take care of any antitrust problems and that allows for franchising without risk for the cities and counties. Thirdly, again, like Senator Day's draft, we have language that says that a fair and equitable rate can be charged for the provision of the opportunity to recycle. Along with that, we kept in our bill some language that said that people who recycle cannot be charged more than people who do not. And that is a difference in the drafts. Those are the major differences. We have beefed up the rulemaking of DEQ to try and address some of the fears that local government had that they wouldn't have much guidance from DEQ and they wouldn't know what to do. And so actually the rulemaking requirements read fairly similarly between the Day draft and these now. However, in ours, the responsibility is laid out. We know that the responsibility is for the depots is at the landfill operators, and that will be checked at DEQ through the permit, and that the cities and counties are responsible, presumably, most likely, by franchising, for seeing that there is curbside collection, and that they will see either that through the franchise there's education, or they'll provide the education themselves, or, for example, in the metropolitan area, they might contract with Metro to do all the education, since that's what Metro is doing at the moment. So that's quite different from the Day amendments, which don't tell who's going to do what and wait for the bureaucratic process of findings and hearings before there's any decision that there shall be recycling. In our draft, we continue to say it shall be there, but it's just an opportunity. It doesn't require anybody to participate. We would be happy to have in our bill, if it were to be used, a provision that DEQ could make findings and require mandatory participation in the programs after findings were made that the participation was not enough to carry the program, that the landfill was completely full, whatever kind of findings need to be made, and we could write that in the bill so that if the opportunity which we're providing for in our bill doesn't work, then DEQ could go ahead and make the findings and require in areas where it's really needed to require that everybody participate to make the program work. We're willing to have that in our bill. We do not like to see mandatory without first providing the programs and seeing what happens. And that's what we're providing for. Those are the major portions of the bill. There are a lot of sorts of cleanup things, but I think that's the major philosophy of the bill.
Mr. Chairman? Yes, Senator Day?
Well, what bothers me here is you say that you don't want to provide the programs and tell you whether you know they work, yet you're actually mandating something before DEQ has gone forth. You're saying certain things will occur. Can you tell me a little more about why you think that is absolutely essential?
Well, the mandate that we have is that there be recycling of anything that is economically feasible to recycle. And we continue to stay with the definition with some amendment that we had at the beginning. I think that, in fact, that definition remains in the Day draft. And so we're saying it's up to the local governments to figure out, with the help from DEQ, of what it is in their particular area that can be economically recycled, and that they shall go ahead and do that. And you don't have to sit around and wait for DEQ to come out and have a hearing and make the findings and go through a long process to find out what that is. And so it's basically a local government control compared to coming from DEQ.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Starkovich?
How do we judge economic feasibility of a recycling program?
Well, in either bill, you're getting to that, and there is some guidance. There's the original definition, which is, let me find it there. on page 9 of the OEC dash 2 amendments. Recyclable material means any material or group of materials that can be collected and sold for recycling at a net cost equal to or less than the cost of collection and disposal of the same material. So it's a balancing of the cost of collecting and marketing that material, less the profit from that, balanced against the cost of collecting and disposing in a landfill that same material.
And the Senator Day's...
He has the very same one.
Yeah, there it is.
So the difference is...
The difference is really in who's deciding and when. We're just saying up front, everybody's going to be responsible for checking that out and seeing what they can recycle and go ahead with the program. And we've already designated who's going to do it and how it's going to happen. In the Day amendments, it's basically all through DEQ, and there's a lot less decisions made in the bill yet of how it would actually happen.
Mr. Chairman, that's
their day.
Major point you make here is that nothing prevents local government from going forward, but it gives a lead role on this waste management.